It is a very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. I noticed this morning, actually, the paper, that Keir Starmer suggested that we don't use the word illegal immigration anymore. So Keir Starmer now wants people to use the word irregular migration. Because it sounds nicer and it's not as divisive. So there you go. Tip for the future. Seemingly the media don't want you to use the word illegal immigration. That's not cool anymore. It's irregular migration. That's what you have to use from now on. Now, we'll come back to that shortly, but I do want to talk about the Catholic Church, because many of you, of course, will have watched the incredible programme, Bishop Casey's Buried Secrets, which aired on RTE1 on Monday. In the investigation conducted by RTE in association with the Irish Mail on Sunday, reporter Anne Sheridan examined the Catholic Church's handling of allegations against the former Bishop of Galway, Eamon Casey, who died, by the way, in 2017. Now, the show included an interview with one of Bishop Casey's accusers, his niece, Patricia Donovan. Speaking for the first time on camera, she claimed that he first raped her at the age of 5. I want you to kind of imagine that in your head if you possibly can. And that sexual abuse continued on for years. It is a truly shocking and disturbing programme and a good example, really, of what RTE actually does well. I know we give them a hard time. During the documentary, one thing that Patricia Donovan said that struck her or struck out was, she said, "I feel so absolutely and completely utterly betrayed by the church that I was brought up in." What I want to know today is, knowing all the sins of the Catholic Church and all the cover-ups, if you truly are a Christian, how can you possibly stand by it and walk into a church with your head held high? Now, that's exactly what I know. What I want to know today. I mean, it's a big question. Faith is a very personal thing to everybody. But in light of this documentary, and I suppose indeed everything that we know with the Catholic Church, you know, the history behind all the Ryan Report, the Murphy Report, the Cloyne Report, the Magdalen Laundries, the industrial schools, the baby homes, mother and baby homes, everything, all the sins of the Catholic Church, if that's what you want to call it. Can you still stand by the Catholic Church? Now, this, by the way, doesn't put your faith at risk. I'm not suggesting you can't be Catholic or you can't be Christian or you can't, you know, believe in God or Jesus. I respect all of that. But the actual organisation of the Catholic Church. And I was chatting to somebody earlier on about this. We kind of spoke about it. And I was saying, it's like, for example, if you're a big fan of football, I mean, you can still support football, but you don't have to support that particular team that's responsible for maybe a lot of wrongdoings. If it was the media, you can still support the media. But if, for example, one particular radio station or television station had a lot of staff in it that were sexually abusing children or abusing people in any way, shape or form, you wouldn't want to support that one particular organisation, would you? Well, I wouldn't imagine so. But yet, we still, forgivingly, support the Catholic Church. And they're still allowed to pontificate in Ireland and around the world, where the figures are startling. Now, by the way, I'm not saying the Catholic Church are exclusive when it comes to access to children and the abuse of children, because they're not. Other occupations like school teaching. We've seen Scouting Ireland. We've seen, you know, sports organisations. You know, they also are very high in the ratings when it comes to sexually abusing children. But this is not some sort of target we should be trying to reach. But when we look at the figures for the Catholic Church across the world, for example, just to get to them very briefly, if I can. In Ireland, we look at allegations that have been made against priests, for example. The official Ryan Commission report in 2009 found widespread abuse of children in Catholic-run institutions between the 1930s and 1970s. Altogether in Ireland, we have had 15,000 between 1970 and 1990 alone. In France, they believe there was 216,000 victims with sexual abuse carried out. In Germany, I'm just giving you some figures here, 1,670 clergymen, 3,677 minors, mostly boys under the age of 13, abused between 46 and 2014. In America, there were 11,000 complaints lodged in the US by victims of the Catholic Church and priests. So now that's only 5 countries. I could go into Australia and loads of other countries as well if you really want me to go down that road. But I want to get your thoughts. Do you still support the organisation of the Catholic Church? Let me know. The number is 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Joining me first just to talk about this is David Quinn, who's a commentator on society and religion and politics and also a columnist. David, hi, how are you doing?
Hi. Hi, how are you?
David, you know, look, this is a kind of tough time for the Irish Catholic Church, isn't it? And I'm sure you'll be writing about it, I imagine, in the Independent, the Sunday Independent, because look, everybody's talking about it again.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's okay, so I'm a Mass goer, I still go to Mass. But obviously the scandals have just been the most incredibly horrible thing to have to read about and listen to and the pain that so many people have been put through, the absolutely terrible carry-on of those in authority in the church who learnt about these cases in the past and did worse than nothing about them. What often happened was priests get accused of abuse, the guards don't get told. There's not even an internal disciplinary procedure against him. What happens in many cases is that he was sent off to a quote-unquote therapist and would be brought back quote-unquote cured and then sent off to a new parish without the parish being told anything whatsoever about this guy's record, and then he would go on to abuse again. And it was only because of certain victims coming forward and kind of deciding to go public and revealing what had happened to them. I was thinking of people here like Andrew Madden, who was abused by a priest called Father, I think it was.
I interviewed Andrew about 20 years ago.
Yeah. And then the whole thing begins to break, and then more and more people come forward, and then we have the investigations and all this sort of stuff, and then we discover how deep it was and how deep the cover-ups were and all that kind of thing. So I began in journalism and kind of writing in newspapers around 1994, and I became editor of the Irish Catholic in 96. But I remember in 1996, very shortly after I became editor, Cardinal Cottle Daly, who was then head of the Catholic Church in Ireland, he's, you know, dead a good few years now, and there was a document released that was the first set of child protection guidelines from the bishops in Ireland. And I kind of look at this pre and post 1996. So pre-1996, the cases that would have come to light were never dealt with properly. There was almost always a cover-up in the way I described a few moments ago. And then from 1996 on, once this particular set of guidelines goes into operation, when an allegation would come in, the allegation would be passed on to the Gardaí, and also there'd be an internal procedure against that priest, because sometimes what would happen is there wouldn't be enough evidence to be able to indict an accused priest in a criminal court of law. And so what would happen sometimes to the priest is they would be defrocked, or if not defrocked, they would be withdrawn from all ministry and never allowed to publicly minister again, which is to say mass in public and that kind of thing. So post-1996, the record gets much better in terms of how allegations are dealt with, and then it gets better and better as time goes on and the processes improve and they get child protection systems into place at every level.
But it still took them a long time. There was that whole thing when Cardinal Ratzinger came to Ireland, who was the Pope, obviously, at the time. Mm. And this whole thing, was he going to apologise to the Irish people? Which he didn't, really.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what he did then. I'd have to look back.
There was this kind of apathy, David. You know, I mean, when you look back at the Primate of Ireland, you know, when he turned around and said, you know, in relation to the evidence that was given against Brendan Smith, against a young boy, and he said, it wasn't my duty or responsibility to go to the guards. I was just a note taker. Now, you know, I mean, if you were sitting there as a note taker and you knew that this young boy had been sexually abused by Brendan Smith, who was one of the most prolific paedophiles within the Catholic Church, you saw that nothing was being done about it and it wasn't being reported. You would take it upon yourself, surely, to report it.
I mean, I'm not going to defend him. And in fact, I remember when I came out in public. Whoops, I nearly dropped the phone. When that came out in public, I remember writing that, look, he really needs to resign.
But he didn't.
No, he didn't, because actually he wasn't let resign, I think, by Rome. Because I didn't want a cascade taking place. I'm not going to defend that either, by the way. The particular case you're talking about, where he was the note-taker of one of these inquiries, was, I think, in the 1970s. So again, post-1996, if somebody had come along and made an allegation against a particular priest, and I think it was Father Brendan Smith, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
In that particular case.
So
if it happened post-1996, that would be reported to the authorities, and then he would be, there would be proper procedure brought in against him, even if the police for some reason couldn't press charges, which they could in the case of Brendan Smith. So you did have this post-1996 situation in which things do improve an awful lot. And each year, these reports come out from the church. So it has a very... a national level, and there's one at all kinds of other levels too. Each diocese has one too. So they come out with a report each year and they say how many allegations they might have received in the previous year. And those allegations nearly always date back to the time before 1996. They usually date back to the 70s and 80s and thereabouts. Mm-hmm. So if you see that there was X number of new allegations made this year, it's not that the incidents happened recently. It's usually somebody has come forward who was abused in the 70s and 80s.
Let's just get to the nub of the problem. And I don't want to keep you too long, David, but why do you think primarily priests took this opportunity to sexually abuse, primarily boys, by the way? But why do you think they took the opportunity? Is it, and I often wonder, was it that paedophiles went into the priesthood because they thought they'd have access to children and they had all this authority? Or was it that these men went into the... sorry, but I do apologise. There's another person on the line there. I do apologise. So, or was it that they went into the priesthood, suddenly got all this authority, nobody questioned their authority, and then they took advantage of that situation? Like, which order did it happen? Was it the chicken and egg, or the egg of the chicken, if you know what I mean? So which order did it happen in?
Yeah, so basically, you know, from these multiple reports that you were mentioning at the top of the programme, it looks like about 5% of priests went on to abuse a child. All right, which is an enormous number. Although, mind you, opinion polls have shown the public often think it's up to a quarter. So it's about 5%, but it's still obviously 5% too high.
Yeah, but it's not just the 5%. It's the larger percent who knew what was going on and said nothing about it.
So anyway, in answer to your question, it looks like people with a predilection to child abuse join walks of life where they can do that. All right, so positions of trusted access, whatever that may be, and one of them was the priesthood. And then, of course, we have the system of cover-ups where they say, well, we don't want a reputation destroyed, so we're not going to reveal this to anybody and keep it all hush-hush, which, of course, caused the most gigantic damage to the reputation later on and made the whole thing much worse. So that's what I think was the...
Okay, so the question today I'm asking our listeners is, when you know everything that's gone on, and this is just another nail in the coffin, I suppose, to some degree, right? I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to minimise what happened with Bishop Casey. We all know that Bishop Casey wasn't the most honest man in the world. Mind you, the idea that a priest might have had a relationship with a woman wasn't such a big deal. It was a man having a relationship with a woman. Yes, he was in the priesthood and he was not supposed to, but that was a man-made rule brought in by the Catholic Church. But the fact that they were abusing children is a completely different kettle of fish. How can you, David, defend, and I'm not talking about defend God or defend Jesus Christ or defend your faith or whatever it is, but defend that part of the organisation, which essentially is the marketing tool for Catholicism, which is the men and women who go around, you know, pretend or... Well, these particular men and women, obviously, who we don't have any faith in, obviously are pretending to be messengers for God. How can you walk into a church with your head held high and say, I like this organisation? Or how can anybody do that?
Well, I mean, I don't walk into my head held high. I mean, I've kept going to Mass. I mean, I think maybe 15 or 20% of people still go to Mass, and they go to Mass despite all the shameful conduct of some priests and then the organisation in covering up those scandals. And, I mean, so... Why do they go and why do I go? Well, I mean, I still believe in God. Mm. I still believe in the gospel. I still believe in Jesus Christ. I believe.
But you can still do all of that without supporting the organization, can't you?
Well, yes, of course. So, I mean, what does supporting the organization mean? I'm not even sure, you know, what that means. I mean, I just connect with the church at my local parish level. So again, I go along to Mass and I, you know, make contributions to various funds. It could be St. Vincent de Paul outside the church. Because remember, the church does a tremendous amount of good stuff. I mean,
there's some. Like, but I do want to say that. Sorry for interrupting you, because I didn't say that, and I do want to say that. Over the years, you know, there have been priests and nuns and organisations within the Catholic Church who've done some wonderful work, including education and healthcare and everything else in this country. So we can't ignore that either. The Church have done some wonderful work, but unfortunately, it's overshadowed by the bad stuff.
Yeah, you see, the word church now conjures up images of hierarchy and clericalism and abuse and scandals. So people, when they think of the Church, think of the structures. When they think of the Church, they don't think of the gospel. They don't think of Christianity. It'd be a bit like, you know, you mentioned sport at the start. It'd be a bit like if you think of football, you're not thinking of the game, you're thinking of the governing structures. And I don't like the governing structures, and therefore I don't like the game itself. again, when people think of the church, they think of the organizational structures and the way it was run and clericalism and the self-protective nature of clericalism.
Yeah, but there's many organizational structures within Christianity. So, for example, the same way as there's many organizational structures within media. So if one particular section of the media, you know, gets a bad reputation, people might turn it off and not watch it anymore. Or rightly so, if there was, you know, paedophilia involved or sexual abuse involved, they wouldn't watch it or they wouldn't support it. It wouldn't get any ratings anymore. But that doesn't mean the whole media industry should suffer, because people can still support the media.
Of course not.
You know, so what I'm saying to you is, this shouldn't affect people's belief or faith in God or Jesus Christ or whatever, but certainly it should. I'm mind blown that it doesn't affect their belief in the Catholic Church per se.
Well, but you see, I think it does affect their belief in the integrity of the institution as it is run day to day. I think your average mass going Catholic, and certainly, you know, speaking as a mass going Catholic, like, my disillusionment with the way the institution has been run is extremely deep and extremely great. All right. So when I look at the institution as an organizational structure, I don't have much faith in it. Mm. But I do still go to Mass because I do believe in that. And I don't believe in simply a type of religion that's completely and utterly about, you know, individualistic and nothing to do with community. All right? Because I don't take that approach to my faith, that I think there should be a communal aspect to it as well. And so you have, you know, fellow believers coming together and going to Mass to pray and to worship rather than stay at home, because I think that communal aspect of the faith is extremely important. Mm-hmm. And I still believe in that, despite all the horrible scandals and despite all the failings of the institution, because I think Mass is still something worth going to for me, and obviously there are people who go to Mass as well. And
what's the future for the church? Just very quickly, because I know you have to go when I have to go to some callers. What's the future?
I mean, for the foreseeable future, not bleak is the short answer to that. But I mean, I think, you know, if God is speaking to people individually, and, you know, Jesus Christ is speaking to people individually, then people in their individual faith, that can still revive, and those people will still come together and worship. So where we are in 100 years' time, I just can't say, because this country, who knows what it's going to be like in 100 years' time.
Well, the other thing as well is, you know, nowadays, of course, I mean, many priests were ordained last year. I mean, do we have any priests, anybody going into the priesthood anymore?
Almost none. I mean, this country is particularly bad, by the way, even by Western standards, in terms of the decline of vocations. Yeah. But, I mean, immigration is going to change things. I mean, there's no telling what will happen over the next few decades. As people see, for example, I know we're getting into a different subject here, but the plunging number of children is going to be in this country in the future, and a very much larger number of older people in the country. And does that cause some kind of a social revolution that becomes more pro-family, and then do people begin to reassess things like religion? Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, the future is very unpredictable, but things will change, and I don't know in what way they will change, and I don't know what the future for religion will be within those changes.
David Greenison, thank you very much indeed. Columnist with the Sunday Independent and the Irish Catholic. Thanks for joining us. Now, let me go to some of our callers. The number, by the way, is 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Let me go to Maureen. Maureen, hi, how are you? Go ahead, Maureen.
Well, you know, as you know, I'm a Catholic. I'm a practicing Catholic. But we have a problem. The problem here is people need to learn to separate faith from human failure. People need to realize that it's what is going on in the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church, the attempt has destroyed the Catholic Church from within. But the thing about the Catholic Church is, the Catholic Church will never die, because Christ himself said it. The Church will always prevail.
You're confusing two things.
I'm talking about
Christianity.
No, they're not. I'm talking about Catholicism. We're talking about Catholicism here. Not all sects of Christianity. We are the only faith on this earth who recognize transubstantiation. No other sect on this earth recognizes that. Jesus Christ founded the Catholic Church.
But you're entitled to recognize that, but other faiths just don't believe that's possible. But however,
they don't believe it. I recognize it. I'm a Catholic.
I know you do. I know. That's the body and blood of Christ. Yeah. Yeah.
On earth. And he's founded it. We got it at the Last Supper. And I will walk in to any Catholic church on this planet with my head held high, because I'm going to visit my Lord and my Savior and King of Kings.
But the man,
that
yeah, but
is
the, yeah, but
the Catholic faith.
Okay, yeah, but
it's
the
not the man-made failures.
No. Hang on, Maureen. But what about the man that's standing up behind the altar? When you walk into that beautiful building, and most of them are beautiful buildings, and you walk into that building to receive the body and blood of Christ and all that. Yeah. So you walk in there, but there's still a human being standing up on the altar, you know, preaching to you, telling you how you should live your life. We now know that a large percentage, you know, it's an unfortunate percentage of those human beings are responsible for sexual abuse, the rape of children, the torture of children. You know, I mean, look back at their reputation. It's not good, Maureen. Now, I'm not saying they're all like that because they aren't. There's some nice priests, there's some good priests and some good nuns. But, you know, a huge amount of them were involved in wrongdoing. And if that was any other organisation, Maureen, you know, if that was your local supermarket or a particular brand, I'm not going to mention any brands of supermarket, but if that was a particular brand of supermarket, you know, that was responsible for that type of thing, that doesn't mean all supermarkets are bad, but it means that one's bad and you wouldn't go there and buy your milk and sugar anymore, would you? But you're still going
but
you're still supporting an organisation that, let's be clear, is corrupt from top to bottom.
No, I'm not supporting any organisation.
You are. You're walking in the door.
I am adhering to my faith.
Yeah, but you can. I'm not doubting your faith.
No, you are. You are. This is the problem. I am adhering to my faith. I am following 10 simple commandments that Jesus Christ asked us to follow. Actually, Catholicism is the hardest of the faiths you can follow. It's a beautiful faith, but it's one of the hardest. It has nothing to do with the priest. And I'll tell you something. The priests are not telling people today how to live their lives. The priests are actually telling people nothing. That is why, partly now, why we're in the state that we're in. We have a pope. He's an anti-pope. There is no doubt about that. He's an anti-pope. We have a Cardinal Fernandez, who was appointed Dicastery of the Faith, head of the Dicastery of the Faith.
Is Pope Francis the Antichrist?
Deadly.
Is he?
Deadly.
Is Pope Francis the Antichrist?
No, he's an anti-pope.
Anti-pope.
He's not the Antichrist.
Okay, so Maureen, stay there just for a second.
Seems to be beating the whole lot of them.
Stay there, Maureen.
He's spoken heresy on a number of occasions, Niall.
Yeah, Maureen, I want you to stay with me. Go ahead. Morris, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you doing? Yeah, I appreciate you covering this. It's out there and it needs to be addressed. For somebody to come to the people of Ireland on a programme and into public life and say what a family relative done to her, what a strong person to stand up to the lies and the deceit and the evil. And I wish people would have more compassion and forgiveness for the girl who had to experience this, like thousands of others.
At 5 years of age.
Who were abused by Catholic. Yeah. Exactly. And a blood relation done it to her. What a horrific... You know what, Niall? I'll be honest with you. I'm going to compare this now. I'd deal to Bishop Casey, or that man, that evil man. I'd say when the Pope stood on the altar in the Phoenix Park, he didn't realise that the devil was standing beside him. Mm. That's how close the Pope, John Paul II, Carl Wojtyla, that's how close he came to the devil. He stood beside the devil. That man was pure evil. And I'd give him the same comeuppance as Oliver Cromwell got. Dig him up, burn the carcass and throw it into the sea. Because that's all he deserves for the evil he brought into the world.
Okay.
And I'm telling you now, the Catholic people of Ireland are like Maureen. They have a strong faith. But we have to show compassion and forgiveness for the people whose souls were executed by the evil men and the devils who hid behind the cloth of God. There's nothing wrong with your faith. You did nothing wrong. These evil men used the cloth of God to do evil and executed every child's soul for eternity because of the sexual abuse that they did to gratify their devil wishes and their devil minds and their devil physicality in this world. To me, I am a Catholic, I'm a proud Catholic, but the devil lives in the Catholic Church today, and it's up to the people to get him out.
Do you go to Mass?
I go to Mass now and again, but I do pray a lot as I get older, because my mother said, never forget the power of prayer.
What would you say if somebody said to you, well, You're telling me how bad the organization is. And I'm not talking about how bad Jesus Christ is or God is or your faith or Christianity, but the organization of the Catholic Church, the men and women in the buildings, right? You're telling me how bad that organizational architecture is, but yet you go in and yet you walk in the door with your head held high and support them.
I'm not going to let them interfere with my relationship with God, with the creator of the great spirit.
But you don't need a church. You don't need that building, that nice building where the priest is standing. You don't need that to have your relationship with God.
But I'll give you an example, Niall. I was on the campaign with you in Blanchardstown when we were canvassing for you when you were in the election, and I got a phone call that a close friend of mine died that day.
Yeah.
As soon as I got finished up with you, the next day, I went into the church and lit a candle for him because he went to work that day and he never came home. I'd always do stuff like that to remember people, and they live in my heart forever because people that you love, they never leave you. They leave footprints in your heart. But what I'm saying to you is, I know we don't need to go to the church, but I do go in to light candles to remember the people who I love, who've gone before me, and who I will see again someday. But we have to have compassion and sympathy for the people, the young people at 5 years of age whose lives were destroyed by people hiding behind the cloth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it was actually the devil's work he was doing. That was a devil. That's an evil, evil man that would do that to his own flesh and blood. And I apologize to every person in this country that was abused by people in the Catholic Church. The devil got you. The devil got you. And he was on the altar with John Paul II in 79 in the Phoenix Park.
But you're making it out that John Paul was some sort of innocent person. At the time, we all thought he was.
No, he wasn't.
Hang on, no, John Paul wasn't innocent. Well. He's involved too. He was involved in the cover-up.
He has his failings as well. They all have their failings, Niall. But the human side of their failings should not interfere with anybody else's faith in Jesus Christ or God.
Yeah, but you're using a supernatural word there. It wasn't the devil that raped those children. It was a man who raped those children. Let's be clear about it. Bishop Casey just happened to be a bishop. He was a man. He was a bloke. You know, dirty old bloke.
And to me, anybody that rapes a child, Niall, is a devil. They're a devil. They're a devil because they're executing.
But you don't have to use the word devil. What I'm asking you and Maureen is, and I'm listening to both of you here, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, I have huge respect for both of you. I know both of you years from calling into the show. And I respect your religion. I respect your belief in God. I respect your belief in Jesus Christ, even though I don't. But I do have respect for yours.
Yeah.
But what I don't respect is that people still support an organization that for 25, 30 years I've been on the radio and I have never heard a good story. It's always been... Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting there isn't good within the Catholic Church because there clearly is, right? But all I've been hearing in the news over the last 25 years is report after report after report. I mean, I have in front of me here a lot of the stats, you know, in relation to the Ryan report, the Murphy report, the Cloyne report, 15,000 allegations here in Ireland between 70 and 1990. In France, 216,000 victims in France. 260. Germany, let me see, 3,677 minors, mostly boys under the age of 13. America, 11,000 complaints just in one particular diocese. 11,000 in one diocese, right? I mean,
exactly.
you couldn't... That's only about five countries. I could go into Australia. I had Australia down there. 4,444 in Australia. Australia's a reasonably small population, so 26 million people. What I'm saying to you is...
Yeah.
You couldn't make this stuff up. Like, it's bananas that these men went in and they felt they were above everybody else. They're part of an organisation. Exactly. And it wasn't just the men, Maureen and Morris. It was the people who knew what they were doing and did absolutely nothing about it.
Absolutely nothing. Exactly. And you know where it's going to explode over the next while, because it's being investigated and they're looking for the Pope to apologise. Native American reservations where they put Catholic schools in to educate the Indian. It was kill the Indian, save the child method. There's thousands and thousands of Native American children who vanished because they were more than raped by Catholic and Protestant priests, missionaries who went over to save the savage man. They brought terror to their communities as well. And you'll be reading about that in the future. But what the story...
It's not going to stop. There'll be another story next week. Mind you, this is going to unearth an awful lot of stuff now, this particular documentary. Maureen, did you watch the documentary?
No, I'm going to watch it.
No,
I have a tape.
Go ahead. Yeah, Maureen.
I don't have RT. No, I didn't watch it. I know about him, but I don't have to watch it.
I mean, imagine what it's like, this girl in front of the camera, his niece sitting there telling RTE that he raped her when she was five, Maureen. Five.
Yes, I can.
A grown man, a bishop, a man of the cloth, 5 years of age. Think of that. You have a niece, Maureen.
Why, man, I know what you're saying, Niall, but it doesn't matter. You see, it doesn't matter what anyone says to me. Someone can walk, and this is God's truth, and I say this. If I was to go today, I'll say this. You can come at me. You can put a gun to my head, and you can say, you denounce your Catholic faith, and you denounce Christ, or I'll put a bullet through your head. Well, you know what? The option for me right there,
I don't want you to do that.
I am not. Well, I will.
I know,
do
but hold on. I'm not asking you to denounce Christ or denounce, God, your Savior.
But you see, Niall, the problem is that we actually are being asked to do this.
No, I'm not asking you
because
to do
Morris
that.
Because Morris made a good comment. Hold on a second. Morris made quite a good comment. We've heard nothing for the past 30 years, only the church being absolutely, I could call it bashed, all the bad things. Nothing, any... They,
well,
any
it's hard to find...
It,
but yeah, but unfortunately, Maureen, that's the way the world works. And I did say, when I was talking to David Quinn, the church are responsible for a lot of good stuff, including education
Catholic
and healthcare.
Church right, but did.
Hang on. But it's hard to remember the good stuff when it's littered with bad stuff.
Well, we have to try and remember the good stuff, Niall.
Ah, stop
because
it,
you can say the same... No, you can...
No, hold on for a second. That's like me saying a radio station plays great music, but hey, the DJs are all paedophiles, so let's listen to it anyway. That, Maureen, that's... just because they've done a lot of good stuff doesn't take away from the fact that there is, an abundance of bad stuff.
I never said it doesn't take away from it, did I? I never said that.
And I'm not asking you to denounce your Catholicism or your Christianity or your belief in God.
You're not getting it. You're not getting it. We are actually, that's what we're actually being to do. Because all this attack, this constant attack on the church, never forgetting everything that was ever done good by nuns or priests, and many good things were done.
Stay there for a second. Let me go to Sandy as well. Stay there, Maureen.
We'd have had nothing.
Okay, say it, Maureen. Sandy, hi, how are you doing?
Hiya, I just want to say to Maureen, did you ever see a priest going out and helping the homeless or a nun going out and helping the homeless out in the street? Be honest, yes or no?
No, I haven't. So what?
No, well, there you go. What good have they done for the people of Ireland? I'm just asking you a genuine question without the shouting and the roaring. What have they actually done
second.
For the people of Ireland?
They may not be in public. I don't know. Neither do you. What they're doing behind the scenes. There is many people do things behind the scenes. They know nothing at all about. I've done stuff that people know nothing at all about. My own family don't even know what I've done. Because it's all been quite
not about you,
Sandy, are you on a speakerphone? Because it's kind of hard to hear you. You're a bit echoey.
Yes, I'll take it off. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
That'll be much better. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So, by the way, Sandy, I'm not taking away. I do agree with Maureen. Throughout history, the church have done some good stuff. Without the church, we wouldn't have, when the state couldn't afford to educate children or when the state couldn't afford proper health care for the people of this country. The church, the nuns and the priests took up the mantle. They built the buildings. They built the hospitals. They built, out of their own donations, they built the schools.
Yes.
Yeah. So, there is a lot to thank them for as well.
Oh, yes. But what I was asking Maureen, she did answer it for me. I'm fair place for first. She didn't, and I didn't see any priest going out and helping the homeless or taking them in, and helping them out, which is understandable.
I'm sure Father Peter McVerry might disagree with you, but go on.
But you go on anyway. Right. Last night, excuse me, on RTE Player, even though I can't watch RTE on my television, I can look at it from the phone to the television. People will have the apps on their phone. But basically, I looked at it last night, and by Jesus Christ, my heart went out to, is it Ellen or Ellie? Is that her name?
Yes.
That girl at 5 years of age getting abused, and she went to the Gardaí and everything about it. Now, the priest knew about it, and they didn't want to do anything about it because
you're talking about his niece, Patricia Donovan.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. I apologise for the name change. But the church knew about it, but they didn't want it going public because of bringing shame to the church. Now, the Vatican. As you do know, some people don't know, in their big library under the Vatican, they do have books and books and books all about paedophilia. And the reason why I know is because there is a documentary on YouTube. It's very hard to find at the minute, but if I can find it, I'll let your secretary know. And all about paedophilia, paedophilia and all the reports and everything that came back. Now, when a priest did at the time, or maybe it's still going on now, we don't even know, abuse a child of a minor age, they said, right, we're going to send you off to Africa, blah, 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 to do missionaries over there. We don't know what them priests are doing over there. Take them off the registry altogether. I said, right, no, you're gone. Boom, you're gone. And we are going to send you off to jail or whatever, this and that and the other. Because they're letting them away with it. They're letting them away with it. And it's unbelievable. I am a Catholic, don't get me wrong. And the other caller said that his mother told him to pray every night, blah, blah, blah. I do the same. Drunk or sober, I would say three Hail Marys and Our Father and the whole lot.
And you go to a church? Would you go to a church on a Sunday?
Now, I am being a little bit hypocritical. I will put my hand up. The only time I will go to Mass is if there's a wedding, a funeral, or a christening. They are the only times that I will go to a church. But to see a priest up there, a priest in the church, will read out the Bible, and he will tell you all the quotes from God, the story, blah, 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 blah. He wants you to go this way and that way and that way. But the priests are not following what is going in the book. And that is 100%.
So in other words, they're not following their own rules, yeah.
Exactly. They are being hypocritical, telling us what Jesus would like us to do. But they are not following half of them commandments whatsoever.
Mm. No. It's a fair point, Maureen. It's all well and good, you know, telling us how to live our lives, but they don't live it that way themselves.
Yes. But the thing again is, they're not telling us that today anyway, so it doesn't make a whole heap of difference.
Mm-hmm.
And again, and no matter what I say, what anybody else says, who has been studying the Catholic faith for many years, we know exactly what happened. Actually, the Vatican II was actually the downfall of our church, because it's the Novus Ordo Church. It's the change when we switch from the Tridentine Mass, the true Mass, to the Novus Ordo, which was actually written by Protestants. That's a fact. That's all documented. That there was a plot. The plot was to destroy the church from within.
So what you're trying to say is secularism or liberal priests are the ones that are destroying the church.
Yes. But hang on.
These priests, the
and
majority,
they're continuing to destroy.
Ah, we'll just stop. Listen, Maureen.
They are. No, no. Come on. They're coming. They're continuing.
No, no, no.
To
wait. No, hang on. Let's go back in time. No.
Want to know about the faith or not? Does anyone here want to know about the faith?
No, I'm telling you. I want to tell you something. Okay. You know.
Nobody wants to know about the faith. That's fine.
Okay.
I'm trying to explain the faith to people.
The type of liberalism that you're talking about.
What exactly?
The type, Maureen. The type of liberalism you're talking about is a modern liberalism, right? When you're talking about abortion, when you're talking about gay marriage, when you're talking about all of those things, right?
I am.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, but this didn't happen when those conversations were happening. There was no suggestion that abortion was going to be legalized in Ireland 40 years ago. There was no suggestion gay marriage was going to be legalized 40 years ago. Most of this is all historical. Most of this all happened 30 or 40 years ago. Within the church, a lot of it did. It hasn't happened more recently. Well, we hope it hasn't been happening as much more recently. So what you're talking about is happening now at the moment. You know, communism, socialism, liberalism, all going into the church, and you believe destroying the church and the church's rules.
Yes, it was a plot to destroy the church from within.
I'm not going to disagree with that point now. But what we're talking about is what happened 40 and 50 years ago, before all of that happened, Maureen. These priests were men who claimed to be following canon law, who claimed that they were above everybody else, who claimed they were messengers of God, who believed in Catholicism, who were against abortion, who were against gay marriage, and yet they were raping kids.
They were always there. But going back to what I was talking about, this was all cleverly planned. This was planned way before Vatican II. Belladonna was a diehard communist. We have a lot of the story from herself. It came from her own mouth. She was involved as well with the FBI. She was also involved with the KGB.
Okay, stay there for a second. Let me just go to John O'Dea. John, hi. Okay, hang on. John, hi, how are you?
Not too bad. Just on the point there as regards priests helping the homeless. Like, have people forgotten about the man who's only retired about a year ago, Brother Crowley, in the Capuchin Centre there in Dublin, who long before it was fashionable, right, to be feeding the homeless and involved in homeless matters, that man was silently doing that and the people associated with him. He was doing it for nearly 40 years, right? Mm. So So they are good people out there, like him. And let's not forget about him. Let's not forget about Father Murphy here in the Pellifet Bellevue here in Cork, who's dead just over 12 months now, when I thought I had cancer, and he blessed me. And I felt good walking away from the man. And when they done the test after, they found no cancer. Was the cancer done in the first place? I never know that. Did I feel good after he blessed me? Because he was a fantastic man, loved by the parish and the whole lot. So the point I'm making, look, they are great priests out there. They really are. And well, every time this comes up, I get so fed up because, like, I mean, all these characters like Casey and the whole feckin' out of them, right, and Father Cleary, they're doing huge damage, like, I mean, they're still doing damage to the state. I believe that's why we lost the Eighth Amendment, I think, because there was so much talk, it was continuously drip, drip coming out all the time. It was set to me at the time, campaigning on the streets of Cork. He murdered children, he sold children, he done this, he done that. I said, I never done any of that. But the problem is, it fed into the whole narrative right at the time. And I believe, like, that's why the church were completely impotent at the time and didn't come out strongly against abortion. And I believe that's why we lost that campaign, right? Because the church were afraid of their lives to open their mouth. And rightly so.
No, I think you're wrong, John, because I think anybody who's a practicing Catholic or Christian wouldn't have voted yes to the Eighth Amendment anyway.
Well, to me, like I mean,
right, so it wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't have mattered if the priest talked about it on Sunday in the Mass. It wouldn't have made no difference. Well, if you were a Mass-going Catholic, you probably wouldn't have voted yes in the Eighth Amendment.
Well, I mean, anyone, like, as I said, just like what happened with that politician here on Cork, right? I mean, like, anyone that voted for abortion, like, I mean, and
is
a feckin' is a complete hypocrite.
But getting back to, you know, what Maureen's talking about, I mean, you know what, don't get me wrong, you know, I have great respect for Maureen and her belief and everything else, right? And I'm not questioning Maureen's belief, or I'm not questioning your belief, and I'm not questioning that there have been good individuals, you know, who worked within the Catholic Church, human beings, men.
And still are.
And there still are. I'm not questioning all of that. And by the way, I've just got some notes there that, you know, an estimate of historical investment in Ireland by the Catholic Church, you know, if you put it into today's money perspective, they invested 10 billion into education. They invested, you know, 5 billion into healthcare, social services, 3 billion. So look, a lot of the money that was given, you know, of course, you know, to the Catholic Church, you know, those little donation boxes every week, was invested back into society and the community. So they did do a lot of good. But unfortunately, unfortunately, the human beings responsible for running this little part of the organisation, the Catholic Church or the Church of Ireland, the Catholic Church of Ireland, I mean, they're responsible for a lot of bad stuff. They took advantage of their power.
That has to be acknowledged, right? But it has to be acknowledged, like Nano Nagel set up the presentation order.
Well, how do you acknowledge it? I mean, look, everybody was going on last year, oh, we're not paying a television licence just because Ryan Tuberty got paid too much money. We're not paying a television licence. RT bought flip-flops for 25 quid. We're not paying a television licence. But yet, the Catholic Church was raping children. And people are still quite happy to walk through the door of it every week and throw a few quid into the basket. That blows my mind.
Well, you see, getting down to Maureen's point, like, I mean, it's the actual faith. You're going into the church because you're a believer. Like, you don't have to believe in the man that's up in the pulpit. Like, I don't believe in Pope Francis. I don't think he's a good pope, right? If I go I've never been to Rome. I hope to get there maybe next year. But if I do go to Rome, the place I will go to pay homage is the Colosseum, where the Christians were slaughtered. I wouldn't set foot inside the Vatican or the Sistine Chapel with that idolatry, with paintings of gold.
It's a disgusting display of wealth.
Remember, Jesus Christ came from a working class family. His father was a carpenter, he was a carpenter. His mother was a stay-at-home mother, right? He hung around with working class people. He had nothing. He didn't own anything, right? He died penniless, right? So this is the example we should follow, right? Not the idolatry of Rome and Sistine Chapels and all that shite. Like, I wouldn't go inside the door.
Well, then that comes back to the original question. Is it time that we excommunicate the Catholic Church, the organisation, not the faith, not the belief in God and Jesus?
I saw that
Ireland.
Piece that you put up there.
Yeah.
No, that's impossible. Who's going to excommunicate the church?
No, it's a rhetorical question. You know, I mean, it's not obviously you can't excommunicate the whole church.
Yeah,
but I'm saying, you know, us.
But
Irish people, is it time we just excommunicate the church?
That would mean every individual, like, basically, as I say, like, using the word excommunication is ridiculous. If we say people stopped supporting the church, didn't go anymore, that won't stop the other faiths that are coming in here that are growing on a daily basis, and eventually then they will be the dominant one. And
yeah, I don't want them here either. Yeah, I look, you know, I don't want, you know, I want people to practice their own faith personally if they want to, you know, but the idea of a mass religion now, to be honest with you, or this idea of people following a mass religion and a particularly a culture that doesn't fit in to 2024 is I believe that's outdated.
The one thing that all the villages have in common, right? Now, a lot of people like the Muslims think that they're the one and only, and they don't really like us Christians. Like, we think we're the only one, our God is the only God, right? But the one thing they all have in common is, right, they do keep people on an even track, right? Because if you abolished all religions in the morning, right, okay, sure, it would just be a free-for-all. Like, people would kill each other, rape each other, murder each other, rob everything that you have. I'd kill the fella next door, he'll kill me. You have to have some core to live by, and organized religions, whether you like them or not, do help people to have a core to live by.
Okay, well, stay there for a second. Let me just go to Tommy. Stay there, John. Tommy, hi, how are you?
How are you doing, Noel? You well?
Good. Sorry for keeping you so long, Tommy. You've been listening to Maureen and John, and you know, they're Christians and they're Catholics, but they defend the Catholic Church to some degree. Obviously not defending the wrongdoings, but defend the organization.
Yeah, look, I identify as a Christian now. Obviously far ties to Christianity. And I think we're kind of small-minded in Ireland when it comes to the other forms of Christianity, whether it's Protestant or Eastern Orthodox or Anglican, or even reading the King James Bible. The problem with the Catholic Church I have with it is they've been doing the wrong thing. The priest stands up there and speaks on behalf of God, when Christianity teaches that the priest's job is to read the scripture and be accurate on the scripture. That's what Christianity is about. Nobody speaks for God, and God doesn't speak to people. The only outer being that speaks to people is the devil, and that's God in disguise.
And why do you think these priests, if you go back over time, and the percentage of these priests who both either raped, sexually abused, or covered up sexual abuse or rape of children, why do you think it's so high?
Because they're animals, and people are flawed, and there's paedophiles. They cannot stop themselves, and people like, I won't mention names of previous callers, if people keep defending and covering up and not letting the Gardaí do what they're supposed to do, these people, they won't stop. They can't be, they have to be stopped by somebody else, whether it's go to prison. I know there's 1,800 priests brought to court. Only 82 of them have done any sort of sentence, as far as we can see.
Yeah.
So to be heavier sentence, we'll bring back the death penalty for child abuse. Either a forced offence, if you're looking at pornography, you go to therapy inside prison. If you touch another human being, we'll bring back the death penalty. It's in the King James Bible. The problem is this country is we're so beholden to Catholicism that we're blind to the actual Christianity. So am I, because I talk to rabbis, I talk to priests, I talk to a lot of people. Every priest I talk to doesn't know much about the Bible. And like, these are lads that are fresh from Maynooth, and they don't know much about Christianity in general.
There's not that many lads fresh from Maynooth anymore, because we're not ordaining priests in this country anymore. There's nobody going into the priesthood now.
Maybe they're not getting the same wage they used to. I don't know. I know.
I don't think it's anything to do with the wage. Why would anybody want to be part of an organisation that has such a bad reputation?
They're bad Christians. Simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, if I felt the calling from God, I certainly wouldn't want to be part of that organization.
Well, you could, people are speaking on behalf. People are saying God speaks.
Yeah, sorry, John.
Yeah, look, you said about you would want to be part if you had a calling, but if you had the calling in the first place, like, I mean, that would be a given. You would feel the cause so strongly, like, I mean, and you would want to serve and to do it right.
No,
not to do it what these other creeps and everything else.
If there was a radio station in Ireland, for example, and it was full of paedophiles and nobody was listening to it, and, you know, and it had declined in listeners over the last 20 years because every single week there was another story about another DJ riding it, young kids. Well, you know, and if somebody said to me, I'll give you a job there for 100 grand, I wouldn't work for them, John.
But that would be like saying, I mean, that people, like, I mean, the disgraceful, traitorous way this country has been run by politicians, that nobody should go into politics. They are good people in politics.
Yeah, there's a big difference in the corruption in politics and the corruption in the Catholic Church. What's happening?
No, the point I'm making, if you have a true calling, you see, you're an atheist, you don't understand what it feels to be a Christian, right? If you have a true calling, right, that would oversee everything and you would want to get in there.
Now, this is like blind faith. I mean, if, for example, you talk about politics, if 5% of members of Fianna Fáil were found guilty or were accused of raping children, nobody would vote for them anymore. They wouldn't be a political party anymore. Yet 5%, and not just the 5%, let's look at the larger percentage, you covered it up.
This call is on hold.
Oh, sorry, somebody put me on hold there. 5% of Catholic priests, you know, can do this, and we still support, well, no, I don't support them, but some people still support them. You know what I mean?
You just mentioned one particular party, they don't know, right? Political party, right?
Yeah.
But just because they're picked up over the years, does that mean lots of people say, Jesus, look out of the
street? There's a difference party. Hold on, and let's be clear about it, by the way, that was just using an analogy, Fianna Fáil, people in Fianna Fáil didn't do that. But hold on, when you say fecked up, there's a difference in fecking up and being involved in the rape of children. That's not fecking up.
I know that, but the point is, I said, like, should that stop then someone that thinks they have a genuine calling, that wants to get in there to spread the message, there is no hand left apart in this kind of activity, that believes in the calling, believes in the faith, in the whole ethos and the whole message of Jesus Christ, and they feel they have a calling, they feel they can make a difference spiritually, of course that person has a place there.
Okay, sorry, Maureen, you know, I made the analogy there, you know, a political analogy. And we know politics can be corrupt. We're well aware of that. But you know, hopefully when politicians get caught, they get chucked out, right? But we're talking about the worst type of crime, Maureen, which is the sexual abuse and rape of children. And if you found out that Fianna Gael, Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin, whatever political party, you know, 5% of the party, you know, the men within the party had been raping children and the rest of them were all covering it up and knew about it, you'd never vote for them, Maureen, would you? Never.
No, I wouldn't vote for them.
Yeah, well, that's what you're doing when you walk into a church, you're voting for them.
The problem is, again, successive popes. The only last true pope, in my opinion, the last good pope we had was St. Pope Pius X. All of those should have been, without a doubt, excommunicated from the church. That never happened. And I can talk and I can try and explain how it was infiltrated and the plot to destroy it. It actually goes back to the Reformation. It goes back to the 16th century. Probably before, but the Reformation was the turning point.
But you're still supporting it. You're telling me everything they've done wrong.
Adhering to my faith. Yeah, but no, I'm adhering to my faith, Niall. I am keeping the first commandment. Thou shalt have no gods before me. Lord Jesus Christ, he gave us 10 commandments, but those 10 commandments are in hierarchical order, if you read them. He gave us those 10 to follow. We are asked to keep holy the Sabbath day. And I don't care if there's only two people and one good priest, the Catholic Church.
Can you not just be a Christian without being a Catholic?
It is not, no.
Can you not just be a Christian without being a Catholic?
No, I am a Catholic. No, I cannot. Because the true teaching is in the Catholic Church.
Okay, stay there for a second. I want to go to Lorenzo and Billy.
So they're the same God as us. They don't.
Okay, Lorenzo, hi. Lorenzo, from the home of Catholicism, of course, Italy. Lorenzo, hi. How are you?
Oh, good, Niall. How are you?
Good. Now, in relation to what's been happening, I mean, look, this documentary, and my heart went out to Patricia Donovan talking about the fact that she was raped at 5 years of age by Bishop Casey. But it is just another nail in the coffin for the Catholic Church, and it's another reason the media are going to start talking about this over the next few weeks again, and all the reports will all come back up again, and everything will all come back up. You know, I mean, at this point, Lorenzo, you know, there's a limit to what people can take in relation to this organisation.
Well, I think that the problem is the fact that I know that they were saying that every time comes up the church in the bad way and not in a good way. And as you were saying, it's many times it's easier to point out the bad things and not the good thing of something that happened. You know, can happen to you. You can have like 300 podcasts, great, and then one is bad and you remember for the bad one. But that's because you don't have an ethics or you don't have anything to follow in terms of faith. I mean, if the church is following something that should be pure and always good, the good is automatic. You can't say, oh, but they're good. But that's their job. I mean,
yeah, it should be good. It should be good. It's meant to be good.
They do good.
Yeah.
Exactly. So when they do good, they just do what they are supposed to do. When they do bad, they do what they're not supposed to do, and they do basically what they are always condemning. So that's the problem, and that's why you always talk about the bad and not the good. It's the same thing if you talk, I mean, I'm a vet. Nobody remembers when I do good because it's my job to do good. But they remember when I do bad because it's not my job and means that I did something wrong. And that's normal. It would be the opposite if you talk about the mafia.
Yeah, but hang on. You're giving me all these analogies. Yeah, they're great analogies, right? But we're talking about the one true thing that people find unforgivable, which is the sexual abuse and rape of children. You know, there's a difference in you giving a dog a wrong needle by mistake. Those things can happen in life, and you shouldn't, but it can happen. Or you give them too much of something, or you don't diagnose the poor dog properly. That's different. You know what I mean? That's like a priest just doing something wrong, or maybe giving a bad sermon or a bad reading or whatever it is, or a bad confession. We're talking about going out of your way. That'd be like, for example, Lorenzo, if you went out tomorrow, or if 5% of vets went out tomorrow looking for dogs and beating them up in the middle of the street and killing them. You know, vets as a whole would have a very bad reputation. So what I'm saying is...
Exactly. And those vets will be pulled out and pulled out from the council of veterinary council and persecuted by law. This should be done the same with priests. I mean, that's where I think the Pope or who is in charge, if it's a priest, the bishop, or in this case, the bishop means the Pope, should step out and say, you are not any longer part of the church.
Yeah, but they didn't do that. They've never done that. Is they just move them out for a while and then just move them to another country or location.
Because they are, that's the problem, because they are protecting each other, and that's the problem.
Okay, actually, stay with me, Lorenzo, please, because I want to go to Billy, because he's just on his lunch break here and he only has a few minutes. Billy, hi, how are you?
Nine, how are you keeping?
Good. You've been listening to Maureen, who will defend the church, and that is her right, and, you know, fair play to her. She will defend the Catholic Church.
Absolutely, and she is more than welcome to, and I represent the atheist voice, because I heard Mr. O'D on there a couple of minutes ago saying that us atheists can't have a moral compass or a, you know, however, it's not the atheists who are being blamed for child sex abuse en masse. So I just like to put that out. Mm. I'm looking at some stuff here just to, you know, get context on this. 1,300 priests accused in Ireland, only 87 have seen a day in jail.
Yeah.
An article on the Journal regarding religious orders. I heard you quoting the figures for education and health that the Catholic Church have paid into Ireland when they summed everything up. But they still owe the state $1.3 billion. For various different...
They've only given $1 billion in compensation and settlements over the years, yeah. Which is not a lot, considering.
And they still owe 1.3, which is nothing. It's a drop in the ocean for all the people that have been harmed. The Magdalene laundries, the schools, the Christian Brothers...
The mother and baby homes,
goes on and on. Yeah. I think, Niall, if you were to list the reports, people would just be shocked, because we have this recency bias where we're going, oh, that's terrible, that documentary was terrible. This has all been going on since the mid-1990s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this goes back longer. I'm just looking at it. I haven't even heard of Michael Ledwith, who it came to the fore in 1984 in Maynooth. You know, this goes back. We've been aware of this. This has been in the public knowledge for...
It was interesting that David Quinn mentioned that the first time the Catholic Church acknowledged it is from what his memory, and he's a journalist, 1997, when they brought out the first safeguarding report, the Catholic Church, because he worked for the Irish Catholic at the time. So up to 1997, they didn't even acknowledge there was an issue.
And Niall, here's the other thing. The Catholic Church has been, the Catholic Church has had a presence in Ireland since 1169, when the Pope gave the papal bull to the King of England to invade Ireland and become Lord of Ireland. So that's how long the Catholic Church goes back in this country, and before that. We've only been acknowledging this for the last 20 years, 30 years, that this type of thing has gone on. How long has this really gone on in the history of this country. How far back does it really go?
When you allow people authority, or you allow people to be above everybody else and unquestionable, this is what happens, isn't it? Human nature takes over. Yeah. People take advantage of their situation. That's why you see it within celebrities. You see it also within the school teaching industry as well, because they have access to children and they have a level of authority. So that's why we have seen it, particularly in this particular industry, if that's what you want to call it. It is an industry, by the way. You know, it is a marketing.
It's a vocation, Niall. A vocation. It's not an industry.
Yeah, but they make money. You know, they make money, don't they?
Well, They do, but you know, does the average priest take a big salary? I don't know what they're.
The individual priests don't get a huge salary, but depending on which priesthood they're with, they don't get a huge salary. But the Vatican are making a lot of money out of it, you know, head office.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, you only have to take one wander through the Vatican there, and you can see. Okay, but do you admire Maureen's, you know, defense of the Catholic Church?
Look, I appreciate that Maureen is a devout Catholic. I appreciate that John O'Dea is also a devout Catholic. I admire that they are willing to still defend an institution that has a lot of questions to answer after everything that has come out. I assume that is because of their faith. But for me, I could not be a member of or stand over an institution that has such a checkered history.
I mean, it's a fair point, Maureen. You know, like, you've heard me on the air say, for example, defending Donald Trump, right? I'm a bit of a Trump supporter. Now, there's been lots of allegations made against Donald Trump. But if, for example, there was a court case tomorrow where a five-year-old, you know, he was found guilty of doing something like that to a five-year-old or a six-year-old, or, you know, and it was without a doubt that he was guilty of it, it wasn't some part of some political problem that's been going on for the last year, 5 or 6 years, I certainly wouldn't be supporting her. And I certainly wouldn't be, you know, having this statue here on the desk or whatever. You know what I mean? So you have to sometimes admit there's a problem.
Of course there is a problem. I never said there wasn't a problem. No good Catholic ever said there wasn't a problem. We are not defending predators of paedophiles. I told you they should have been excommunicated. They should have done like what Paul III and Billy was on about. What Pope is he referring to that signed the bull for the invasion of Ireland? The last paper bull, I know it was Paul III when he excommunicated, excommunicated Henry VIII, when Henry began with his reformation, when he divorced Catherine of Aragon. I'm not defending paedophiles or predators. I'm defending my faith. I'm defending the faith that when Jesus Christ walked this earth, that is what he spoke.
But you can defend the faith without defending the Catholic Church. You can defend Christianity. That's what Lorenzo is saying.
Catholicism, Niall. I'm talking about Catholicism. Hold on a second. I'm not talking about any other sect outside my faith. This is what we're speaking about. It's Catholicism. There's a difference in Catholicism than there is in Protestantism and any other sect you want to go into. If you listen to the Muslims, they try and tell us, well, we worship the same God. We do not. Because they deny God as a son. We do not worship the same God.
Sorry, Billy, you want to say something to Maureen there?
Defending the faith. This is my faith.
The Pope in question that issued the papal bull for the invasion of Ireland was Pope Adrian IV in 1155.
Right, okay.
I'm finding it very interesting to get this history lesson today. Sorry, Lorenzo, did you want to say something to Maureen there?
Yeah, no, I don't understand why she can't say, I mean, she can't believe and say that this thing is wrong.
She did say it was wrong.
But then, I mean, you can't keep defending something that is wrong.
Yes, I can. I'm defending my faith, not the human. I am defending my faith. And I will continue to go to Mass as long as there is a good priest and if there's only two or three people, if there's only two or three gathered in his name. But remember, Jesus Christ said on earth, hell will never prevail against the gates of heaven. And that is true. The Catholic Church will never, ever die. The Pope is not the Church. The bishops and cardinals and anybody else, they are just not the Church, nor is the Vatican. The Church is us worldwide Catholics who adhere by the Ten Commandments, who attend Mass. We are the Church, and we can have a Mass. We can go back to Mass rock times if we want to, and I will happily go there.
Yeah, sorry, so well, hang on, sorry, Billy wants to say something. Sorry, Billy.
I'm never denying my faith.
Okay.
I just want to ask you one or two questions, Maureen, just for context on this. So do you believe in papal infallibility, or do you not recognize that?
She doesn't recognize the Pope.
So you don't
I said the Pope, he's an anti-Pope.
You don't recognize okay, he's an anti-Pope. So you don't
he's an anti-Pope.
So I assume the Pope, you recognize...
The Pope is human. The Pope is a human being. No, Vatican II. I don't believe in Vatican II. Vatican II actually destroyed the church, because we have separate churches. We have the Novus Ordo and we have the Tridentine Mass, which is still going strong. And believe it or not, the Tridentine Mass is gathering ground, because people are leaving the Novus Ordo. Catholics are leaving the Novus Ordo to go back to the Tridentine Mass.
Okay, sorry, Billy. What was your second question?
Growing.
No. She's answered my two questions. She doesn't recognize the Pope. So and Maureen, you do still attend a Catholic church, though, do you?
I didn't say I didn't recognize the Pope. I called him an anti-Pope. I recognize the chair of St. Peter. But the Pope is behaving as an anti-Pope.
I'm sorry,
it's as simple
Maureen,
as that. And we've had bad popes down through the history, but he is actually the worst of them, in my book.
I think there's been worse than him. But yeah, sorry, but go ahead, Billy.
You recognize him as being the head of the Catholic Church, even though he is an anti-Pope. Would I be correct in saying that?
I would class him as an anti-Pope, but yeah, recognize the chair of St. Peter. I didn't elect this Pope. I cannot say. It is not within my realm of capability to say whether he was validly elected Pope or not. I cannot say that. Neither can any Catholic say that. But we recognize the chair of St. Peter.
But by the way, Lorenzo, do you recognize the Pope as being the leader of the Catholic Church?
Well, he is, because he's in the Vatican. He has been elected. He is the one that is always nominated. So within the organization, he's the leader of the organization. But to say anti-Pope, the only time that there was an anti-Pope was when the Pope was in Avignon. I mean, that's the only historical time that there were like two popes. Two anti-popes.
Yeah.
There were basically four popes.
No, Lorenzo, we can actually say anti-Pope.
Mm. Yeah, but there was a good movie, by the way, The Two Popes. Stay there for a second. Thank you, Billy, for that. Let me just go to Angela as well. Angela, hi, how are you?
I'm fine, Niall, how are you?
I'm good. Go ahead, Angela.
Is Maureen still there?
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
Hi, Maureen. Maureen, I actually can't believe that we're agreeing on something today, you know, because I don't think we've ever agreed on anything. And I just don't see why people want to take away people's beliefs.
Who's trying to take away people's beliefs?
So what you're saying is shut down the Catholic Church.
No, we're talking about the organization. Nobody could shut down Christianity. Because you couldn't do that.
You can't do that.
The men and women, primarily men, the men that are in the organization of the Catholic Church in Ireland, it seems they're incapable of running an organization. Because when we look back through the last 50 or 60 years, it's riddled with men who felt it necessary to rape children.
Yes. Mm. And women. We're kind of forgetting about a lot of the nuns here as well.
Oh, no. I mean, the nuns did a lot of bad shit too. I'm not saying they didn't.
Oh, they did a lot of bad shit.
Yeah.
But you know what's the thing, the way... Now, I can be very ignorant on this, okay? So I'm putting my hands up to that now, okay?
Yeah.
Put my hands up to it. But my whole thing is, that was how many years ago with men and women who joined an organization to take advantage of something? To take advantage of that organization
Was it the other way around? Was it the organization that made them corrupt? Was it the fact that here was a man, he got the calling or whatever, or his mother or father pushed him to be a priest, right? He went into the organization And then all of a sudden he had all this authority where nobody questioned a thing he did. And he went, what am I going to do with all this power? There's a 15-year-old kid there, a 10-year-old kid. Sure, I can rape him and nobody would question me.
No, Niall.
That's what happened, isn't it?
You're a rapist or you're not a rapist. You're a pedophile. You're not
Hold on a second. No. I think these men saw an opportunity where they were unquestionable. They were, everybody looked up to them. And they felt, I mean, why is it when we see organizations, be it acting, Hollywood is riddled with it as well. You know, I mean, when you see.
Yeah, that's the power. But that is.
It's power. Power corrupts. That is
them taking advantage. Niall, you're asking me a question and you keep interrupting me. I'm getting mad now with you.
Okay.
Okay? Mm. The thing is, in my opinion, that is them taking advantage of an organization. Because not all of them did it. And don't tell me that every priest that went in there was forced to commit abuse, sexual abuse, all of that against a child, and it was the organisation forced them into that. No, it wasn't. You can't be forced to be a paedophile, like you can't be forced to be a rapist or forced to be a murderer.
So what are you saying to me? The Catholic Church was like a paedophile magnet?
Yeah, I think at the time it was.
Well, so they,
because, as you say, they were given free rein. They were given free rein to do whatever they wanted, and they had the power to do whatever they wanted.
But how can you anybody support the organisation that allowed that to happen, and not only allowed it to happen, Angela, encouraged it? Actually actively encouraged it by saying, don't worry about it. You were caught riding some 7-year-old. She made an accusation against you, but don't worry about it. What we'll do is we'll say nothing. We'll put you in a mental hospital for a few years and then we'll take you out and we'll put you off in another parish and nobody will know.
Yes.
Because that's what they did. Because that's what they did.
That is all wrong. That's wrong. It's beyond.
Well, then don't support them. Well, then don't support them. Well, then don't support them.
But I also think it's really wrong of you to turn around and compare RTE to this.
No, what I said to you was, hold on. The analogy I used was, the country got up in arms last year. We're not paying our television license. RTE is a load of bollocks. We're not paying this anymore. All because Ryan Tuberty was paying too much money. And, you know, they were buying flip-flops for 25 quid. They weren't raping children.
Too much of their money.
They weren't raping children.
Too much of their money.
But it doesn't matter. They weren't raping children.
I don't pay to be a Catholic. I don't pay to go into the Catholic Church.
I'm just saying, look how angry we got over that thing last year. Look how many people decided not to pay a television license anymore. Look how many people said we shouldn't be paying a television license, all because of what they did. But they weren't raping children. But yet here's an organisation that was raping children, sexually abusing children, covering it up, and yet people would still walk into a church on a Sunday and go, holy God, there you go.
They will still sit down and watch the television. Will they?
No, but they wouldn't be watching RTE, maybe, because they wouldn't be paying the television license.
No.
If there was a radio station playing good music, but you knew that a large percentage of their DJs were child rapists, would you still listen to that radio station?
Stop. No, you can't.
But if they weren't being replaced, if the program director and the CEO of that radio station was defending them or moving them around on different shifts so you didn't really notice them anymore, would you still support them?
You are talking over me.
I'm just saying, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. Angela, I know what you're like.
Niall.
You wouldn't.
Niall.
You wouldn't, Angela. Don't lie to me.
Niall, please. Every time I open my mouth, Niall, I'm getting really pissed off with you now.
Good, I'm glad you are. I'm glad you're getting pissed off.
There you go again.
I'm glad you're getting pissed off because you're being delusional now. And I'm really surprised at you.
I'm getting pissed off with, because you're not even letting me answer.
Come on, answer the question. Well, she's gone. Gladys, hi, how are you?
Yeah, hi, Larry.
How you doing?
What a really interesting conversation. And ironically, I am in the middle of fighting the mother and baby scheme, which is absolutely gaff to have watched. Well, not funny. I don't mean gaff and funny. It still goes on. This trauma continues.
When you say you're fighting the scheme, this is the redress scheme, is it?
Well, the scheme on behalf of, the way I would say, the dead cannot cry out for justice. Yeah. It's the duty of the living.
Mm-hmm.
to do it for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, without going into too much personal details, you know, I'm my late mother, but they put in place everything to block you to do to get justice. And it happened to me. I happened to be one of them, and I don't want to go into the details of it either because of my own mother's trauma.
Mm.
You know, so this continues. And when people start to, you know, I mean, I have no interest in the Catholic religion or anything. Off you go, you wander around the place. But what really, really upsets me still to this day, and will always, till I die, is the way people defend paedophilia. They defend the nuns. They defend the priests. Like in that documentary, "Sure, he's dead now, leave him." You know, there was 20,000 priests at his funeral. X amount of bishops, all, you know, gold. I don't know, it's probably buried with a load of gold. It might be worth digging up, actually, you know, to get compensate the people that were violated.
And you're telling me they didn't know? Are you telling me all of those didn't know?
Oh, they knew.
Of course they knew.
Sure, they're probably all in the same club. You know, of course they knew. But what they don't do, and when all of these people are defending them, that woman, his niece, you know, Patricia Donovan, she is still living that trauma.
Yep. Yeah.
This is what really pisses me off, you know.
Oh, she's got a life sentence.
She's not living in a gold, you know, she's mental health issues. Who wouldn't have? Who wouldn't? From being raped, you know, sort of thing, like a 5-year-old being raped. Who wouldn't be traumatized for the rest of your life? And yet she was in institutionalized. Wasn't he very good? Didn't he give her $5,000 for her to go into an institution?
Yeah, that was lovely.
Because of his abuse.
Yeah.
It was lovely, very generous. Not probably out of his own bank account, I might add.
No.
From all the faithful sitting up at
the top. Oh, yeah, it was the money that people were putting into baskets every week. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, sort of thing like, and her disbelief, she was not believed. She was not believed. And anybody who has fought within the redress system or now this mother and baby system scheme that they have going, know what it's like for your truth to come out. And that trauma is passed down through generations.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be eradicated. My biggest fear is, you know, with these bastards, I'm sorry for being so emotional about it, but, you know, to get rid of these bastards, who is going to replace them? Because that leaves a gap for another weirdo ideology that to step in, you know, sort of thing, and take over, and you name it. And I don't know what's wrong with people, but they just can't plod along, you know, and be, I'm a good person. I'm a decent person, and I try to be the best person I can be. I don't need to be trained.
I don't need a hierarchy for that. Yeah.
No, I don't. No, I don't. You know, sort of thing.
Let me ask Maureen that question briefly, if I can, because I'm nearly finished here, and I want to go to Jessica to say. But Maureen, you know, I respect your faith, your belief in God, your belief in Jesus Christ, and all that kind of stuff, right? I respect all of that. But you don't need a hierarchy, Maureen. You're a very intelligent woman. You don't need a hierarchy to continue that belief.
Niall, all we're doing is we're continuing what Christ said upon earth, down from St. Peter. That's what it is. That's the faith. And again, I feel sorry for all the victims. Of course I do. And I've never once said any of that was right. I have said they should have all been excommunicated. They weren't. There's nothing I can do about that. But nothing, you see, will deter me or keep me from practicing my faith. It's as simple as that. Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
But I'm not asking. I'm not trying to deter you from practicing
your
faith.
But, Niall, the problem is, I know you're not. You're not. The problem is that there are people that are trying to do it. And there will come a day when there won't be one Catholic church opened. They will be shut. Because, believe you me, communism will take over. And that's where we're heading at the moment. If you look around and see what's happening. But as long, as I said before, there are people who will have a good priest, even though there's only two people. I don't care where I have to go to hear a Mass and receive Holy Communion. I will go there. Simple as that.
But you heard Gladys, what she's saying there. She finds it difficult. Gladys finds it difficult to hear people defending the organisation of the Catholic Church when we see it's basically littered, you know, with people who either were in denial, who covered up, or who were responsible for these horrible deviant sexual acts. You know? She finds it difficult for to hear anybody.
But now, can I just say something before you finish?
I understand that.
Jesus himself said it. Look, I was hated first, he said. right? We would be the very same, because this inherent hatred will turn towards Catholicism. That's where we're heading.
Well, no, I don't hate the Catholic Church, and I don't think Gladys does. She hates
See what's
the people.
Happening.
She hates the people and the organisation.
Yes, to have a look around in general.
I mean, really, look at the Church. Now, can I just say, you know, it's a story. It's a lovely story. But there's stories. She doesn't know whether, you know, it's true that Jesus Christ walked this earth. It's the story is lovely. You know, be kind, be decent, you know, sort of thing. Don't be greedy. All of those things, they're all nice. But it's a lovely story. That's what it is, a story. Every religion has their little bit of a story.
It might be to you, but it's not to me.
No, but it might be
to you. Maybe it is to you. It's not to me.
But proof, what proof do you have that Jesus walked this earth?
I have it in the Bible. And I'm not reading a Protestant Bible, because a Protestant Bible is only 66 books. The Catholic Bible is 72.
That's a book. Do you have the Quran?
It's a book.
You know, that's
I'm sure you've read books. You believe what you've read in a book. How did we ever find
out
information?
I've read more than one, I can tell you.
Before we ever had internet. I didn't say you didn't. What I'm saying is,
but I've loved
how
stories.
We got information.
I've loved
we
the
got
stories.
Them. How did we get information back in the day? We got them from books. How do we learn in school?
We got them also. We got them through one person telling another person a story. Now, how do you know
yes,
for sure?
So they,
considering
the
that the language would have to be changed, and the language was not the language that Jesus spoke.
That was Aramaic. Aramaic, yeah, yeah.
You know, that's
we know
it was
Aramaic.
So
we're well aware of that.
You're reading the interpretation of a story, a nice story, a beautiful
so
story.
Well, I can have the same argument back with you that if I read a book that was written in a different language that I don't speak and it has been translated into English, my language, I am reading a translation. I have to take what it has been translated into.
Do you believe every chapter and verse is factually correct, Maureen? Of the Bible, do you believe every verse is factually correct?
Yes, I do, Niall. I believe in the Bible. I don't care what anybody here throws at me.
Well, there has been libraries in the world who have been criticised for putting it in the fiction. They put it in the fictional section.
I don't care what anyone says. Nothing is going to shake my faith.
Do you ever, you know, in relation to it, do you critically think it? When I say that, for example, in that part of the Middle East, there were 19 or 18 famous historians at that time in the year, you know, that Jesus Christ was supposedly born. And none of them mention him. None of those historians mention a person called Jesus. They mention, by the way, there was loads of prophets. It was very common, by the way, for there to be prophets at that time in the Middle East. You know, people who believed, you know, that they wanted people to follow them, and they had a way of life, and they had rules and regulations, and they had stories. There was 19 historians at that time, and none of them mentioned a person called Jesus Christ. None of them. And the story that, you know, that we know of, and I'm not trying to doubt your faith, Maureen, but the story that we know of Jesus Christ, born of virgin birth, 12 apostles, died, came back 3 days later, that story was used by pagans thousands of years before Jesus Christ came along. Same story.
Yes, but there were prophets on earth before Jesus Christ became, before he became incarnate on earth.
Yeah, the God of Krishna, for example, you know, was born on the 25th of December, had 12 apostles, died, came back 3 days later. The God of Horus was born on the 25th of December, died, had 12 apostles, came back 3 days later, was born of a virgin birth.
It doesn't make any difference to me. Nothing.
But those stories were out thousands of years before Jesus came along. Do you not think that sounds
lovely,
a little suspect?
Great. But remember, no. Hold on a second.
There's always been prophets.
Who led the Jews out of captivity? Who led them into the land, into Israel? Moses. We've had Elijah. We've had prophets before Almighty God decided, okay, I'm going to send my son to earth. We've had them before because they're in the Old Testament. We live by the New Testament because the New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old Testament.
Okay, well, hang on. I've got to go to Jessica before I finish here. Jessica, hi, how are you?
Hi.
Go ahead, Jessica.
Well, look, the first thing I'll say is if James came back to today and saw what happened to the Catholic Church or to the religion that he set up, he would honestly be disgusted.
He would.
I can tell you that for a fact.
Sure.
And yeah. Whenever I walk past the church or even look at one, I genuinely feel sick. Because all I can think of is how could everyone just cover it up, try and push it under the carpet as if it was nothing. Like, they need to be held accountable, every single one of them, even though most of them are probably long gone by now.
A lot of them are dead now, yeah.
Some sort of accountability. Yeah. And I, Maureen, again, as everyone said, I'm not going to bash you. You can have your faith, but you do not need to walk into a building that represents, and that represents what it represents, and has an abuse record.
Yes, I do, actually. I do. You don't. I do walk into that you building don't. Because I said earlier, the Maureen. Very yes, I do, as a Catholic. I do, and I'll tell you why. Because that is where Christ is at the moment. He's in every tabernacle, in every Catholic church on this earth. And I walk in there, and I said it, and I'll say it again, with my but head held proud, because I am going in to worship and adore my Saviour. And you can say what you like, nothing shakes my faith. Absolutely nothing.
Let her just respond. Sorry, Jessica, go ahead, respond. Go ahead.
Okay, you not see from the years of what's been going on that the Catholic Church has poisoned itself. It's done it to itself. They've no one to blame but themselves.
Humans caused the problem. Again, it was humans. You made a statement that if Christ was here,
and look at all the
here,
humans that
he'd be disgusted.
The
Do you
what
not think
part of the institution?
Yeah, but hold on a second. Do you not think that Jesus Christ sees all that's happening at the moment? Do you not think he's actually disgusted now? Of course he is.
He's a human too, by the way.
I thought when he first came on.
he was both human and divine. Actually.
Okay.
He took on human form. He was human and divine. He took on human form.
And do you think he had a wife and children?
No, he did not.
I just can't believe that you're
You can believe, I don't care. That's fine with me. It doesn't shake me, as I said.
But I also feel like you're defending the people who covered it up. I feel like you're defending them as well.
No. I said at the start of the show, never once did I defend any of those men who committed those crimes. I said every one of them should be excommunicated, thrown out.
That's what I said. That's just how it's coming across to me.
Well, you see, that's how you're taking it up. You are listening. Pay attention.
Damn good job of it.
I understand what the point Jessica's making by people walking into that building on a Sunday, that church that represents that organisation. You know, you kind of are supporting it. By throwing money into their little basket, you are supporting it. You're supporting an organisation that unfortunately is riddled with paedophiles. You know what I mean? And you are supporting it. But that's fine, Maureen. You've justified today why you believe you should support it. Sorry, Gladys, you wanted to say something there. Was it about Jesus or God or something? Or?
No, I just think, you know, that I'm not going to rag on somebody who believes. People believe in all sorts of things. It was a lovely story. I personally don't believe it. It was a lovely story. I try to live my life as good as possible. I'm human. I'm a failure. I fail at things.
Mm.
But what I will never... I cannot forgive is that the people who stand up and who, and in that documentary, again, I think it was the religious correspondent for, I think, OTE or whatever, said he just knew the man, Mr. Casey or whatever, you know, and he just jolly thing in his fast car and his fast wine. And let's face it, you know, the women, the fast women, you know, sort of thing that enticed him. Enticed, that's what happened to, you know, the evil witch woman, you know, enticed him, and that child enticed him. And people stood by him, knowing the amount of allegations against Bishop Casey were known. And he was allowed to wander around. And I remember, I have to say this to you, Niall, in 1979, when whatever Pope came to the Phoenix Park,
John Paul.
I refused to go. And I was absolutely vilified for not going.
Mm.
You know, I thought, well, you know, I know what their thoughts of Char are like,
yeah.
So I'm not going. And I've stuck with it all my life. But I tell you, I was seen as an oddball, disrespectful, you name it. And all of those people queuing up for, and all of those, I'm sorry, I'm getting really angry now, standing up on that stage in the Phoenix Park, Casey, the other fellow with the guitar, whatever, that's O'Leary.
Oh, yeah.
The other paedophile as well. That other,
Michael,
you know,
O'Leary.
Father
Michael,
of God Michael. Knows. Michael O'Leary, yeah, with the guitar so he could, whatever, entice and you name it. And he had that poor woman living in his house.
Yeah.
And there they were, up there with the Pope, you know, and all the...
Like a little people, club. You know, like a little club, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and they were all clapping one another and you name it. and the fine wines and the fine drink and the fine gowns and the you name it. And they're the yeah. faithful.
But you could argue, Gladys, hindsight is a great thing. You know, we can look back now and we see that all three of them up on the stage were responsible. By the way, John Paul was equally as bad. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. But anybody who stood up, I would not go.
John Paul, the Pope John Paul, when all of the Stark stuff started coming out first, towards the end of his tenure as Pope, you know, he was made aware of paedophile priests, and he was set up an office within the Vatican that was responsible for relocating paedophile priests so they wouldn't be found out.
Yeah, so, and I just want to be fair, Niall, paedophile nuns, if that's a word, are nuns paedophiles?
Yeah, no, they're paedophiles.
Because they were also sexual. They were also sexual predators.
Oh, they were. They did damage.
You know, if they weren't doing it sexually, they were doing it emotionally. And that's what they did. And this society we live in, that, well, I don't know if we call it society anymore, have lost anything. We've lost. We don't even know anymore. We have to be guided by some fairy stories, you know, sort of thing. Otherwise, we're not intelligent enough to be able to be decent human beings. I don't buy that bullshit. I've never bought it, you know, sort of thing. But also the Irish will absolutely vilify anybody who stands up and say, you know what, I don't want to be part of that club. I don't. Now, it's much easier nowadays. But I can tell you, Niall, when I was younger, it was horrendous to say, I don't want to be a part of that club. You were called all sorts of names, you know. The idea is that we can think for ourselves just seems to be so, I was thinking about it earlier, seems to be alien to us that we can think for ourselves. We can be good people. By ourselves.
I do hear people saying all the time in relation to, oh, you can't be a good person unless you're a Christian. I don't believe that for a second. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I don't believe in any of that. I think to me it all sounds like supernatural
stories.
I believe in love. But in saying that, I believe I'm a good person. But I also equally believe Maureen is a good person too, even though she believes different things to me. Yes. But listen, on that note, I have to wrap it up. Sorry, Jessica, Gladys, and Maureen, thank you very much indeed for sticking on with us there for the whole hour and a bit. All right, appreciate it.
You're welcome, Niall.
All right, thank you very much indeed. All right, loads and loads of people texting. And lads, will you ask that Maureen one what her stance on homosexuality or gay marriage is? I don't want to have to ask her. She said it in the past. You know what I mean? She's a Christian, obviously, and she doesn't agree with it. She doesn't judge people, by the way. That's the issue with these religious beliefs. They demand respect for the beliefs, but won't respect the beliefs if they go against her religion. Why should I respect your religious views? But yes, you won't accept my lifestyle. Sean, what's up? Sean, to be fair, Maureen is not would never demand that you believe in God or you believe in her religion. She would never demand that. And I know Maureen. I don't have to get her on to answer that. She wouldn't demand that. But, you know, she doesn't have respect for your lifestyle. She doesn't judge you as a person for being gay. But she wouldn't demand that you be a Christian or you be religious or you be whatever. You know, no more than you should demand that she believes in your lifestyle. Anyway, I'm looking at some of the messages here. I want to read these out. Oh, yeah. Maria says, I think the Catholic Church is part of our heritage, good and bad. The Vatican has too much power, but religion is a choice. It's up to people whether they want to join it or not. Gambian says, it's an absolute shame what those in charge of the Catholic faith who committed these crimes did to destroy it in our country. In light of the decades of corrupt government, where else were ordinary people to turn to for guidance, comfort and solace? This country truly is a tragedy. Oh, right, okay. Sorry, I thought Maureen wanted to come back on there for a second. It was rotten. Maybe it is still corrupt. Christians still need to worship. If you get rid of Catholicism, do you have to get rid of all of them? Do you leave Islam? I think the influence is gone. By the way, people have mentioned Islam quite a lot today and the rise of Islam in Ireland. There is a rise. I don't believe the rise of any religion should be allowed. If you want to have your religion privately, have your religion privately. Believe whatever you want. That's your free will. You're entitled to do that. But the idea of any sect, cult, religion that inhibits people to portray themselves in a certain way in a modern society, to me, is wrong. I don't want any religion in this country. I mean, I think Catholicism has moved on and Christianity has moved on, certainly in this country now, and has accepted the way we live is slightly differently. But I don't want any religion, for example, you know, that tells, for example, men that they're better than women or that men that they can rape their wives, or men that they can beat their wives up if they don't do what they're told, or whatever it is, or, you know, or boys should be circumcised or whatever. I don't want any religion, or girls should have female genital mutilation. Any religion that promotes that kind of stuff is not welcome in our country. It's just not welcome in the country. That's just the way it has to be, because we live in a modern country that doesn't accept those kind of values anymore. And we don't accept that women are second-class citizens. We don't accept that you can rape your wife. We don't accept that you can beat your wife up, or vice versa, or whatever it happens to be. We don't accept those things in this country. So any religion that promotes those notions or those ideas shouldn't be allowed. It should be illegal to practice religions that promote those kind of notions or ideas. And I don't apologise for saying that. Now, you can still have your religion, but you don't obviously interpret it in such a way that it promotes those bad values. I mean, that, for example, I know a lot of people who are Muslim who don't agree with, you know, certain things within the interpretations of the Quran. I know people who are Christian who don't agree with those interpretations, or some of those interpretations. Now, let me just play. I've got a couple of WhatsApp messages here that I've got to play. I better play them or I'll be killed. Hold on. I'll play this for you. Unfortunately, it's there we go.
Good afternoon, Niall. It's Martin. It's a very interesting yet disturbing conversation you're having there. As you know, Niall, I'm not a Catholic. I am a Christian. I was brought into a Catholic family, all right. I was brought up in a Catholic family. But for me, the Catholic faith never... There were so many things that just never made sense. It's supposed to be based on biblical teachings and, you know, based around the Bible. Never saw a Bible being produced in the church. But what I would say is, and I'm not on a Catholic bashing session here, you know. I know most of my family are Catholic. But what I would say is, you know, in Matthew, Jesus talks about, by their fruits you will know them. And it's not just a Catholic faith. I mean, it happens in governments, it happens in sporting organizations, happens all over. But for me, the idea of having somebody interpret what my creator is telling me, the message that my creator has for me, I don't need somebody else to tell me what my creator is telling me in the Bible. When I read the Bible, before I do so, I pray for understanding. And I allow my creator to talk to me through the words that I read. I don't need someone to intercede and make out what it means and pass that on to me. I don't believe that's what God meant. Anyway, I'm rambling on. Great topic, as I say, but a disturbing topic.
Good afternoon. A very emotional topic. I didn't watch that thing on RT, you know. I'm going to watch it tonight. But I went back to the church recently because, you know, a lot of dark stuff going on in the world now. Even in the Catholic Church, I'm well aware of what goes on in the Vatican and all that, but I'm trying to get closer to God. Still trying to figure out how to go about all that, but I went in through the church. That's where my starting base was, to go back to God. I don't have all the answers for it, but I think we kind of need God back in this country now. We don't need men abusing children. And let's not forget, it was uncles and everyone was covered in for everyone back in the day in this country. It wasn't just priests. And you can go to music and you can listen to Elvis Presley and all of these musicians that we all listen to, all married, questionable age people. And it's across the board now. Paedophilia seems to be just everywhere. And even now, it's not going away anywhere. Yeah, look, what happened in the church was terrible. It was abhorrent. It was devil. It was all of them evil things. But like you said there, it was a lot of good stuff done too. But I think we kind of need some faith back in this country, because it's, to say it or not, there's another faith coming and they're on the war path and they're going to be, you've told me yesterday, taking over abandoned Catholic churches and turning them into mosques and all that. And it's happening in this country. So it's time people are kind of make a decision on this now. Myself personally, I'm just trying to go back closer to God, you know, and that's what I'm trying to do. Cheers now. Bye.
All right, thanks for those messages, by the way. You can send messages at any stage, by the way, during the show if you want to on WhatsApp at 085-122-55. Pippa, by the way, says on YouTube, why does it not surprise me that that self-confessed atheist, me, she must be talking about, would bring this subject up? It's all over the news, Pippa, in case you hadn't noticed. It's in every single newspaper. It was all over RT in a documentary. And it's been going on for 30 years, Pippa. I think you need to wake up. Anyway, she says, quotation marks, "Lord, help us to stand for something, because a man who stands for nothing will fall for anything." Oh, we've all, Pippa, we've all been fooled, have we? These things didn't really happen. Somebody just made it all up. Priests weren't really going around raping and riding kids. That really didn't happen. Is that what you're telling me, Pippa? You're the one who's delusional, Pippa. You're the one. All right. Listen, thank you to everybody who got involved in the show today. Don't forget, by the way, please support the show. Otherwise, we cannot bring you this platform every single day that allows you to have your opinions, where people get angry with each other every now and again. But please do support the show. If you don't support the show, we can't have the show. We don't get paid. We only look for donations so we can pay bills. That's the only reason we do it. If we can just pay the bills, we're happy. And as I said to you, we are trying to expand it into something bigger. We have a bigger plan for a media organisation, which we're working on at the moment. It's going to take us a few months, I did tell you that. But that's going to take time and money. So please do support us. It's really important. A small donation, just the price of a cup of coffee. That's all you got to do. Go to our website, nileboylan.com. Click on the donate button or the subscribe button. You can subscribe for $5.99 a month, which is a cup of coffee every month for the three of us to share. Or if you just want to give a one-off donation, a fiver or 5 million, whatever you can give us, we'd really, really appreciate it. It's getting close to the end of the month. The bills are starting to come in now and we have to pay them. So please help us to do that. If you listen to the show every day, and it blows our minds sometimes that we have so many listeners every single day, and one particular day during the week, for example, with like 27,000 people listening on YouTube or on Twitter and YouTube, and then we had another 17,000 or 18,000 listening live on YouTube at the same time. And then we had God knows how many thousand people download the show that day on Spotify, iTunes and all the other places. And then we had our website, altogether about 100,000 people, which is great in one day. If all 100,000 of you who had an opportunity to listen to entertainment, if you want to call it that, debate, if you want to call it that, you know, something that's intriguing, if you want to call it that. And if you all gave us 1 cent, 1 cent. Instead of just taking it for free because we don't have any advertising, if you all just gave us 1 cent, God, we'd be very, very happy. So please donate. Think about it when you're listening to the show every day. You're listening right now for free. We're not charging you for this. And, you have been entertained to some degree for the last hour and a half. And certainly it lets you critically think about, topics and subjects that are in the news and things that you need to think about. And look, and we will give you something that other media organisations won't, which is an opportunity to have a fair opinion, uncensored. So please just, if you could, every now and again, throw us a donation to help us to continue to do that, because you're getting it for free. We've thought of other ways, whereby, you'll have to go indirectly into the website and everything and go behind a paywall. And, we don't want to have to do those things. But it will come a time very shortly where we're going to have to do that, because we can't continue to do what we're doing at the moment. Because, unfortunately, we don't make enough money to pay the bills. So we have to put our hands in our own pockets every month, which is expensive. Thankfully, we have our own full-time jobs. So please help us. Go on to the website, nileboylan.com. Support us by donating or by subscribing. Thank you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.